Welcome into the Seminole Wrap Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Pellerin, along with Juan Montalvo and John Marchand for a post-spring game episode. I'll go ahead and get it out the way now. A little bit of an apology for the break in episodes over the last month plus. We've been having some reshuffling behind the scenes, so again, apologies for that. But we think those changes will be some great content for you coming forward, and hopefully we can carry the post-spring offseason with some fun interviews and good content that I think will really round it out. One of those new changes is a new host here on the show with us, Max Escarpio. Max, good to have you here, man.
Happy to be here. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, obviously a great episode to really bring you in for and going forward. So it's spring game. Max is obviously there covering the game yesterday. I think you all saw it, and I won't even bother you with the scores because, Florida State didn't even bother to post the stats themselves. Looks quite a bit the same. I didn't really have anything that felt jarring outside of maybe a couple of spots, a couple of guys here and there. But Juan, anything really that feel like it shifted the tide for you on where this program's at or maybe where the team's headed?
Well, I think Tate Rodemaker is definitely in line for 2023 and 2024 Heismans. But beyond that, no, I mean, it was a really disjointed spring game in the way that they put it together, both in terms of the like format. I mean, they started with like special teams drill, then did the 2-point conversion drill, then did some more green area stuff. So it was just sort of disjointed in that sense. And then you'd rotate between the quarterbacks like every five snaps or less. The only real thing that I saw that was nice was, stood out was defensive line play. And part of what I liked in that was, you had Jared Verse, who's a transfer incoming, and he, he's playing that outside the field side defensive end role, and he looks pretty good there. Derek McClendon looked really nice, actually, at that Fox, the boundary side defensive end. Jared Verse has a nice bull rush to him. He's probably going to have to develop a little bit more of a repertoire of pass rush moves, but that's sort of expected, I suppose. And the other thing I liked about it was you had pretty solid offensive tackle play in pass sets. Both Robert Scott on the left side Bless Harris on the right side. Both those guys comported themselves well. I mean, you've got between them, Darius Washington, you've got three guys there that you can count on to play outside of tackle. And that doesn't even count some of the guys that you're looking at as potential transfers. I don't think we're going to talk about it too much, but Adarius Mims just announced he's going to transfer from Georgia. It looks like Miami's the destination there, so that won't be in Florida State's favor, I don't think. But it was a little bit better than I expected in that sense from the offensive tackles.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, John.
Sorry, I just want to jump in there real quick. I agree with everything that Juan said. I also want to point out, I thought that overall, like, it did look the same, right? It looked the same, quite the same as the team as last year. There's a little bit different. You got a lot more talent and everything that they brought in. I think it was what, another 20 something transfers or whatever it was. I thought the pass game's going to struggle. It looks like to me so far, receivers, I thought were excellent at blocking on the edges. But the receiving part of it was not so great. The running back group is deep. That's fun. I want to echo again Juan's point about the offensive tackle play. That was kind of surprisingly good. And then also some of the DBs, right? Sam McCall's a five-star guy, so you expect him to play really well. He'll probably play early. But overall, I thought the secondary is pretty good. I was kind of – I hated the broadcast. I thought it was terrible.
It was the worst camera.
Right.
It was some of the worst camera work I've seen on ESPN. I mean, and I've watched Cornhole on that channel.
Yeah, it was horrible. But I did get to see a little bit more of the secondary than I thought I was going to get to see. So I thought they did a pretty good job. But anyway, those are my main takeaways. I don't want to get too deep in the weeds yet.
Well, it's something with the receiving core, which I think is probably maybe the one thing you had hoped would progress, that I thought the broadcast did make a good point of, is the defense has seen the same routes and concepts over and over again now for weeks, where, they – could go, oh, this is clearly going to be that play, and it helps them step in front. But I think some of the drops are still obviously very concerning. Norvell talked a little bit about that after the game, and he called it hit and miss. Max, obviously you were there. Was there anything that you felt like in terms of what Norvell said and the way that group kind of played that stood out to you?
No, it seems like just the connection between the quarterback and the receivers weren't going well. And I mean, we've seen Johnny Wilson, we've seen other players do well in spring practice, but I guess like someone was talking earlier before, the bright lights of Doak Campbell, they just weren't ready for it right now.
Yeah, and it seemed it felt like a weird thing. I think when Norvell got asked about that, his look was like, it wasn't even a full crowd. You know, it was like a really, but I could see that. I mean, I guess if you're looking at a crowded room and want to make a name for yourself.
That's something like Jared Verse also said, that that's the biggest, one of the biggest crowds he's ever played in. So it's also different for some of them.
A little different than Albany. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Obviously the defensive line, I think, was one of the concerns too. When you looked at it and you were replacing a guy who, I mean, I was seeing mocks the other day that had Jermaine Johnson as a possible top 20 pick. I mean, I think that's one of the spots you're really concerned with replacing, and Verse showed he is capable of being maybe and I can't even say he's going to be that same type of player. You can't ask someone to come in and be what Jermaine Johnson was, but you know, he flashed. And if you add him alongside of McClendon and Norvell brought up Briggs, who seems to be growing as well in that same area. I mean, there's growth there. I had the same conversation with Perry, who's, you know, I'm sure many of you know, is the site runner and our podcast producer, where my biggest concern is replacing that type of production at your D-line. And I thought they played well. I mean, I don't know if you can complain, but like you said, there are still areas where Verse needs to grow as a rusher to make that much of a difference.
I mean, would you say he's versatile enough yet?
He needs a little more versatility for sure. I did think one thing that stood out too was, it's, I guess to keep it in the receiver game, was the use of Pittman and around the goal line. I saw he took, I think, one jet sweep, and then they almost read optioned, or whether it was play actioned with him on another. I think just having him, even though I felt like he didn't get the ball a ton, and again, I don't really have the stats published to see how much he got it, but the ability to almost tease that he exists, to be like, hey, he's a playmaker that someone else needs to watch out for, I think is going to be a big help. Max, have you seen a lot in spring where he's gotten a chance to flash that at all?
Well, yesterday I was looking at it, and he had 4 receptions, somewhere close to 30 yards. So I mean, I think he's a good, like Kevin and Adam were talking about yesterday, he's a good gadget piece that they can work around the field, but I don't think he's someone that, and I've seen it in practice, that he can't be the receiver one, and other guys need to start to step up. So I mean, he was good yesterday, but he can't be that guy that we just keep going to.
And John, I think we've talked about that a lot, the need for a one.
Yeah, and Norvell's probably still looking for one. You know, you keep bringing in these transfers. You had Andrew Parchman last year, now Micah Pittman. Max is probably right that Pittman is not going to be anything more than a 2. So you kind of hope that, like, we talked a lot on this pod over the last year in the previous season about how we finally saw development of some of the players on this team for the first time in a really long time since towards the end, you know, 2013-14 of the Jimbo Fisher era. You need someone that you've recruited to develop and step up. I don't know if it's going to be Kentron or somebody else, but you know, over the Willie Taggart era and going into the beginning of Norvell, there's just not any talent on this team at receiver. That's why they've been so bad. You have to get somebody and develop them, because these transfers, like you said, I mean, maybe some of them have a high floor. That's what you're hoping for. You don't really know what you're going to get, but you got to develop somebody to grow into that role. And you just keep waiting for somebody to take it. And so far, I don't see that anyone has. So to me, that's a big reason why this team in the spring game looked very similar to last season, because the style is going to be the same. It's going to be mostly a ground-based attack, kind of like the early years of Norvell at Memphis. And you're kind of waiting on that quarterback receiver combo, right? Someone who can get rid of the ball quickly to the right player and all the other stuff. And I want to give Travis some credit. He looked a little bit more comfortable with the ball this in the game, with a few reps that I did see, a little bit quicker, a lot of the back shoulder throws that they kind of found like halfway through last season. So that was nice, but still you don't have that receiving talent. You're going to have a ceiling on this passing game, and you're going to rely more and still be more one dimensional, which is something that hurt them last year. So, you know, it's a step in the right direction. Obviously the season, you know, it's only April. You got a long, long wait before you get to August and then through December. So there's a lot of room for growth and a lot of time to get there, but so far, I just, you know, not seeing enough of a difference yet. And that's kind of where I'm at right now.
And I think they definitely needed a floor at receiver because it felt like they didn't even have a floor last year.
There were too many balls hitting the floor was the problem.
But they need someone who can at least do more than just the minimum. I do think part of that and moving the ball will come with, you know, Jordan Travis not wearing the black non-contact jersey. You know, there were a lot of plays where, I mean, I think a couple third and sevens where he made a great throw and it was a first down, but you know, a fingertip touched him as he was letting go of the ball. So he's down.
Yeah. There were a couple of those, like there was one quarterback draw, one of the first drives that they were going towards the left on the camera view. But anyway, that he was going up the middle on a draw and, you know, was barely touched and in a real world game, that guy doesn't make that tackle. So it's one of those things that it's like, all right, you know, you don't really get to see the full benefit, obviously, like you said, of Jordan Travis's legs in a touch scrimmage effectively for quarterbacks. It's a design that's obviously going to favor, you know, the defense significantly. And Adam Fuller has been saying that nonstop after like every practice, basically. You know, it may look like the defense is ahead, but that's just because, you know, the format of practice sort of dictates that.
Yeah.
And a game like this, it's the same way. And like you were saying a minute ago, that they've seen all those same routes. When they see the distribution of receivers going, they know where everybody's going to go. So it's really, you know, the familiarity doesn't help in that respect. And I think there's no reason to overreact too much to what would be definitely considered a lackluster offensive performance overall.
Oh, one guy who did, I guess, wasn't no contact was a Trey Benson, obviously another one of those transfers from Oregon who looked like he had some explosion. He had some power. I think he was the guy who maybe on offense impressed me the most yesterday. I don't know if there's anyone else who really I felt like stood out that much.
Yeah, I mean, there was a couple of times where, what was it? One of those swing passes that kind of set him up with a screen with a couple of receivers blocking. I thought he did an excellent job setting up those blocks, right? You know, you have the safety coming down, running down the alley, right, to make the tackle. And he kind of like hesitates a little bit and then steps it out to the outside. So he sets up that block for himself, you know, picking six or seven more yards because of that, right? So at first you're like, well, you know, what is he waiting for? You just got to go. But then you see him set it up. So that was really nice to see. The guy, you know, he's quick. He's got a nice little burst to him. He's fast. I like him. You know, I know we talked a lot about Corbin was a revelation last year, but I think Benson's a pretty fun player. Hopefully he can stay healthy. Then again, Toafili, I know he's been up and down a little bit in his career, but hopefully he can kind of put it all together.
I think the ability to have a running back, I mean, obviously a running back, I feel like that's probably the deepest spot on the whole team. But to have a guy who could flash beyond just getting you the yards that are there. And like you talked about looking and having the vision, that's obviously a huge plus with next to a guy like Travis, who maybe you don't have to put him in as many spots to get you the yards you need him to. And maybe that helps him stay healthy a little bit too. I mean, Max, is Benson, is there anyone else in that running back group you think has stood out in the spring? Where have you seen them stand at?
I saw a lot from Toafili yesterday. I saw him catching. I saw him on the slot. I saw him.
Did he caught that back shoulder early in the game too?
Yeah. Yeah. Which I was actually surprised from because I haven't seen that from a lot in practice. But in practice, I would probably say one of the biggest surprises for me was CJ Campbell and how he's improved throughout the spring. And Trayshawn Ward talked about it early in the spring that not only did he want to improve on his pass catching and improve on trying to get more yards after, but he wanted to improve on his blocking, which I do think has improved. So he's trying to do other things that it seems like since he's been here for so long, he's trying to work on other things like that, which I think has really worked. And like you said, that's the deepest room we have. So, I mean, it did great yesterday and they've been great throughout practice.
Anybody have a take on AJ Duffy and his performance yesterday, the way he maybe looked? I know we kind of felt like Tate wasn't really that guy, but, you know, a first look at Duffy out there.
I hope he's ready sooner rather than later because Tate isn't that guy. I don't think Tate can even see the field. And look, Travis does look great. He's obviously healthy. I hope he stays that way all through, you know, fall camp and stuff. Because I think we kind of felt like even in the Notre Dame game last year, Travis really wasn't healthy for most of the season last year. So you just don't know. You don't know if he can say, they talked a little bit about him gaining some weight and all this other stuff. You just don't know if Travis can stay healthy the whole year. He probably can't. Like even Brian, to your point, if a lot of this running game can be efficient and take some of that load off of Travis, so he doesn't have to run as much, you know, maybe that kind of saves his body, but at some point somebody else is going to have to play. And I just hope it's not Tate. I don't want to be too hard on the kid. It's just and Duffy's not going to be ready this year. You just have to hope he's ready next season, but it's not a great situation, honestly. It kind of sucks that Purdy decided to transfer. I wish him the best, but it doesn't leave Florida State's room, in my opinion, with a lot of confidence, I guess.
Yeah, and I think one thing is with when you look at maybe Tate, and again, like on the not being too hard on him, I mean, the best asset Florida State's offense has is Jordan Travis's ability to run. So when you swap in Tate, obviously Jordan Travis's ability to run isn't on the field anymore, so then you have to hope someone catches the ball, which we've learned is not exactly a great thing. is there anything that stood out from Duffy or I guess I didn't even want to ask about Tate from either one of you guys, Vaughn or Max?
I mean, Duffy has a rocket. He has a powerful arm that we've seen. I just think, just like Jordan Travis early in his career, the game needs to slow down for him, which, I mean, I think people are just rushing it right now. It's going to take some time. Obviously, he's a freshman, so it's going to take some time. He just needs to get more comfortable. And like in practice where he'll look up for 2 seconds, someone's not open, he just puts his head down and starts running the ball, which – it'll take time to get comfortable with his offensive line and with his receivers. So, I mean, I don't know if he'll be ready next year, but I do have more confidence in him than Tate, even for next year, to be honest.
Well, one person who does not share your opinion is former FSU standout Greg Reed, who has called for Tate Rodemaker to get the start as starting quarterback over Jordan Travis.
Who is this?
Greg Reed. You should know that name.
Greg Reed shouldn't give that take. If that's his take, he needs to not give that take. He's the only thing they have. I don't even understand that. Where do you even
Greg Reed is not exactly known for good takes.
Okay, that makes sense.
He is firmly a bad take merchant. Tate definitely isn't the guy, not to malign the kid much more, but he's shown enough at this point throughout the, I think, 2 or 3 seasons that he's simply not there. He's just a guy. At best.
And I think when you look at the team as a whole, the other problem areas I think we had coming in were linebacker. I didn't really see anything I felt like yesterday that jumped out. Was there anything, Max, that you saw over spring that stood out? Maybe you felt like our linebackers maybe showed some growth or progress? Because obviously they ran the ball a billion times yesterday, but I felt like every run was for positive yards.
I was actually pretty pleased from the linebacker play yesterday because I wasn't so scared of them stopping the run. I mean, they have Tatum Bethune out, which was hurt yesterday, so they're missing pieces there. But you have a guy like Stephen Dix who had 6 tackles and DJ Lundy who looks like he had 2 passes defended. So they played the passing game pretty well and they played it better than I thought they would. So I don't have much to say from them.
A prime example of a kid smarter than me. John, you got anything?
No, I mean I don't want to say that I think this team is going to go 5-7 again or not make a bowl game again. I do think they're better. They look like they're more talented. They look like there's been more development than last season. But like we kind of talked about a little bit, the whole format of it was, like Juan said, disjointed. It was all over the place. It wasn't a true kind of scrimmage, so to speak. So it was really hard to get a feel for it. It looks like special teams is going to be bad again, which is disappointing. You know, I know they're great that first year, Norvell. Then last year, they're a huge disappointment. It looks like they're so far not going to be great again. So I don't know. I don't know. It's too early to tell. You know, they look stylistically the same as last season, but you can tell there's some pieces. They're a little bit new. It's just not a final product yet. And it's hard to predict where they're going to end up by, you know, the time September, October.
You maybe remember this when you mentioned special teams, the field goal block that should have been returned for a touchdown, like coming right over the middle, right down the middle. That was left a lot to be desired up the middle on that special teams. And to Watt's point from earlier, and you just brought it up again there on that, the format, it just, I mean, you know, I don't want to harp on it, but in terms of it's a program overall type thing, the point of the spring game is to just look good, right? I mean, that's all you're really trying to do is just to look good. It's a scrimmage and you could make it look as good as you want. It just felt like if you're going to do something, make it where you look good at doing it. Like the special teams thing was a weird way to start, which is whatever. I don't think anyone really cared to watch it. And then the 2-point drills, like I think like half the throws got picked off and I was like, okay, fun. I was like, just do something you look good doing. I don't know. It just felt like a weird way to go about it. You could do that in practice at the closed facility where no one ever sees it. You know, I don't know. It was very clunky. I thought it was good to have the former players back as captains, you know, EJ and Danny and the group. I thought that was fun. Obviously, you've got to make some connections if you're going to be Norvell and hang around here. I think that buys him something at least. But I thought the format of it was weird.
Well, let me ask this question. Do you guys think Norvell's actually on the hot seat this season? Because I don't think that he should be. But you keep seeing it in media over and over and over again that he is. And I think that's ridiculous.
You'd have to see actual regression at this point, in my opinion, right, to even really entertain it. Just because we've talked about it endlessly on the podcast. Transition classes destroy your roster. Right. And they're still getting over that. And it's going to be a couple of years until they can really get back to, you know, max talent. So it's short-sighted at best to even, you know, even discuss it. Not that we shouldn't, but I mean, you know, the fact that the media and people like that are discussing it is frankly ridiculous, although that's just what they do, I guess.
Right. Well,
my only concern would be where it comes from, right? I mean, if the media that's bringing it up, and I hate using the media because, you know, as a reporter, it makes me feel like, you know, I'm sure Max is probably feeling the same way. Like, come on, guys, I'm out here doing my job. I'm part of the group, but I'm not part of that group. But, you know, if they're hearing things, then I feel like you need to say you're hearing things. You know, like I'm hearing that some people in the FSU program or in the boosters won't be happy if they miss a bowl game again, which I think is fair, then say that. But to just be like, he's on the hot seat, he needs to perform. Like, what does that mean? Like, that doesn't, you know, I mean, that's such an arbitrary thing. If we end up at 6-6, if it ends up being 7-5, I don't see how you let him go. That's, again, another step towards progress. And like we've talked about, it's progress is so minimal. It's slowly climbing. It was such a hole to dig yourself out of. It like you said, a transitional class is just going to nuke it all over again.
Right. Cause I think one's right. Like it looked like a 6 or 7 win team to me on Saturday. And I think one's
that's
right.
What you need.
You'd have to win. You'd have to win 3, 4, 5 games for him to get fired. If you want to say the benchmark is you have to make a bowl game, that's him on the hot seat. So to speak. Okay. I guess, but you know, it is time Florida State makes a bowl game. If that's the benchmark this year, but I think firing him after the season would be a mistake, regardless of whatever the record is. Because again, to Juan's point, like we talked about endlessly last year, you're just putting another transition class on the books right as soon as you're trying to cycle the previous ones off. It's just it's self-defeating. So I don't get that either. I just kind of wanted to bring it up because it grinds my gears.
It seems to come up in every broadcast and every other national type article. So I understand it. I mean, it's just weird during a spring where every play your team either looks one half your team looks good and one half your team looks bad on every play you run in every practice or spring game or scrimmage. You're playing yourself.
Yeah. I mean, a sack isn't necessarily a good play by the defensive end if it's a poor play by the offensive line.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's sort of weird just to take away anything hot seat related from that quote unquote game on Saturday. I mean, I think as far as the hot seat talk goes, it's premature to have that discussion. I really think after this season, you have the discussion of if he's on the hot seat for the following year, like for the 2023 season.
Right.
Like that's when, if he gets to midway through the season and he's only got 2 wins, the seat's getting warm. I mean, he's on deck for the hot seat, put it that way.
I think that's fair. I mean, you know, you're a proud program that expects a lot, but you are coming back from a lot. I mean, whatever. I feel like we're piling on the voices doing it, but I just don't.
Who is doing it? Just out of curiosity.
I don't even remember. I just see articles here and there. I don't even click on them because it's not worth a click. But I keep seeing them every couple of weeks. And it drives me nuts. Max, what do you think? I want to know your opinion. What do you think about Norvell and this coming season?
I mean, I don't think he's on the hot seat. I don't think he's on the hot seat at all right now. We're seeing improvement. Like I said before, improvement, it takes time. Everything here is going to take time. So I think to be on the hot seat right now is just ridiculous. And in my opinion, we're going to see a 6 or 7 or even, I mean, maybe they can be better than that, but we're going to see improvement next season. So it's just, if it keeps going up from here, we're fine. But like he said, we're a program like Florida State University that just thinks of ourselves as the top, but we're not right now. So you need to start building and you need to start climbing from somewhere.
Well, I think one thing to note is, well, I Googled Norvell hot seat real quick.
Did he make a straw man? Is it a straw man?
It's even worse. It's a straw haired man named Danny Cannell.
I should have known.
Who gives even more bad takes than Greg Reed, honestly.
And they made him a honorary coach. Good God.
Yeah.
Well, Danny was just making it permanent. What do you mean? Ago,
March 30th, he said in an interview that it was a hot seat. So then they brought him in to call plays.
That has to be the one that I saw, but I never clicked on it. So
he did something really good in 1994, and that's all I have to say about him.
So I don't know if these guys thinking that if we just hire someone else, we're just gonna like blow up and it's just gonna get better.
Dion.
Apparently.
Dion. Oh,
get Brian, get out right now. Get out.
We might get Travis Hunter.
I just did a visual gag of taking my headphones off for a podcast. So apologies to everyone out there. We did talk about this a couple of times before, and you know, I feel like the spring game didn't lend itself to the most topics here. I mean, I think it just kind of was what it was. Like we mentioned, you know, it's your offense against your defense, and one side looks good while the other looks bad on every play. We talked about this before, where the transfer portal allows pretty much year-round roster building. Do you guys at this point have a position you'd like them or hope that they add to continue to bolster the roster? I think last year around this time, we've talked about it a couple of times, is when they brought in a Dylan Gibbons. You know, as spring ends, kids around the country look up and say, I don't have a spot, and they look somewhere else. Where do you hope they go?
Receiver, receiver, receiver. I mean, they are desperate there.
I mean, I think you have to go offensive line. You need depth at that position. You need depth at every position there. So yeah, you have to go get some offensive line pieces.
I'm going to go with an NIL coordinator with a bunch of money. That's what I'm going to go with. Whoever's got the most money, hire that person and just let him hand out money. That's the position they need to get. Because I mean, again, we're talking about championships. What is this, 2022? So by the end of the decade, hopefully around 2026, 2027, 2028, maybe you're hopefully playing for championships, but you have to have the talent to get there. And yeah, I know, what was it, the first or second best class in the ACC they just brought in or something like that. But you, I honestly don't know because I don't follow recruiting that well. But you need to be top three, top four, top five in the country. Right now, they're not close to that. So, but that's where they want to be. That's where they want to go. That's where we should all want them to go. So it's a long way to get there. But that's the position I'm being ridiculous that I think that they should go for.
Yeah, it's funny that you bring that up. I am with Max on this one. I do think they've brought in enough. Enough at receiver. I don't think that anyone seems to have worked. They've brought in a bunch. I mean, look, if someone's great out there, go get him. But I think if I've learned anything in college football, you just can't have enough offensive linemen. Someone's going to roll an ankle. Someone's going to twist an ankle. And then boom, there goes everything. Especially when your quarterback is so important like Jordan is, and his legs are so important. You know, it's not like, well, he can twist an ankle and just keep doing what he's doing. He's got to be able to move around. He's got to be able to run. You've got to protect him. But on John, your point of the NIL guy, man, we've a couple of the episodes we tried to bring in the last couple of weeks that just ended up falling through were an NIL lawyer to just explain to us what's going on with the laws. Basically, it, you know, at my unprofessional what happened take is, it's not even a take, it's a fact, but the state legislature in Florida did nothing this session. So the law is still the law. So good luck in keeping up with the rest of the country when you have laws and they don't. And, you know, we tried to bring on boosters and the AD to just be like, hey, where the hell are you going to get some money? Because, you know, quite frankly, you kind of need it. And so we're still working on making schedules work on that one. But yeah, I mean, that's where they've got to make up ground. And it seems pretty clear that's where they're falling behind.
Right. That's it. It's the game has changed. It's all about NIL now. That's what kids care about, rightfully so. And that law does not help Florida schools. So no. We'll see how they manage that.
I laughed earlier at a tweet I saw from Josh Newberg from, was it 247 Sports, right? And it was kid transferring. I think it was one from Georgia. And it was like, you know, it's expected to come down to Florida State and Miami. And we expect NIL to play a big role. And I was like, duh.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, duh. Like, I mean, yeah, NIL, NIL, you know, Bro Bible and all that stuff, Jimbo Fisher voice. Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, that's played a major role for 40 years. Like, I mean, I don't, whatever. I don't want to, you know, they do a great work. I don't mean to be, but I just saw it and I was like, duh. Like, yeah. Yeah. Miami's got a guy who claims to be a billionaire handing out giant checks. No wonder they're the favorite. Right. I mean, and Florida State, it seems like every program has like the bag man and we're still looking for the Florida State bag man.
And if you're listening to this and you want to be the bag man, just
reach out to us.
Nation.com and we'll reach you to the right people.
We will connect you. We're also looking for sponsors, all those things. We're more than happy to take it on. You can reach out to us. But yeah, I mean, we're, like I said, we'll go ahead and wrap it up here and not waste too much of the time, but we, like I said, we are reshuffling a little bit and kind of renegotiating where we, how we funnel content out to you. We hope to be more regularly scheduled programming. I'm thinking, hopefully we'll come to a certain day and we're going to try and get all on the same page here at Tomahawk Nation. So we kind of expect that to start hopefully next week or maybe in early May, but we can start filling this off-season gap for you, get you ready for football season and fall camp coming up in August and lead you into the season opener, which I will not refer to as the Duquesne game. I will only refer to it as the LSU game because Duquesne will not be the season opener. I don't care how many times you guys replied in the comments of my articles. It will not be the season opener. Do not tell me you're going to start on national TV on a Sunday on Labor Day weekend against a Power 5 team that's won 3 titles since 2000 and be like, no, Duquesne's the opener. Duquesne. I didn't know they had a football team. So
1-0, baby. That's 1-0.
One step closer to the 6-6 that gets Norvell off the hot seat in Danny Cannell's eyes. Yeah, I was so afraid you had a straw man there. I'm glad it ended up being Cannell, who was somehow an honorary captain.
It's honestly hilarious.
Yeah, it worked out even better than expected. So I appreciate you guys hanging around with us and jumping back on here. Like I said, I apologize for the gap, and I think we could get a little more frequent here with you and hopefully find some fun stuff to fill an off season. And hopefully the team lends itself to some news as well. But in the meantime, I'm Brian for John, Juan, and Max. That's a wrap.